Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice. I'm here with my good friend and brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
Hey, what's up, Patrick?
Today we have on the show with us Father David Sizemore. Father Dave is the pastor of St. John Newman Catholic Church in Sunbury, Ohio. Father Dave experienced a powerful encounter with God early on in life that opened the door for his discernment into the priesthood. In his ordination, God touched Father Dave in a very powerful way and set the stage for a priestly ministry that we see in Columbus that's transforming our diocese. Today, we were going to talk about transformation in the Holy Spirit. Dan, will you start us off in prayer?
Amen. Yeah, Lord, we just pray today for transformation. Come, Holy Spirit. Send your Spirit into our lives. Send your Spirit into our hearts. Send your Spirit into our cities. Lord, we pray that you would be the master and the king of transformation. You say that you would transform hearts, Lord. And so we pray for those in our audience today who need a transformation of their heart, that you would heal them and restore them. You say, Lord, that you can transform our minds. And so we pray for a transformation of the mind, that those who minds are stuck in this world, that you would bring a transformation to our minds so that we would know you and see you and love like you, Lord. We pray for a transformation of our cities, Lord, that you would restore a people set apart for your kingdom, for your work. And Lord, we pray for a transformation of our world, that you would bring about a renewal all throughout this world, Lord, in the church and outside of the church. Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So Holy Spirit, I just pray that as you've called us into a new chapter of the new evangelization, that there would be no fear, that we would not have a fear of man, that we would not have a fear of failure, because we have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you stir into flame a new courage, Lord, that would rebuke all fear sent against us in this task, Lord, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit so there could be God working in us, through us, freely. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Today, Dan, I'm so excited. Father Dave is here with us. Can I speak from the heart for a minute?
Yeah.
All right. So I met Father Dave a while back when I got here from Columbus. And in our first conversation, I saw in him not only the heart of a pastor with a sincere concern for his sheep and his flock, but I saw in him the heart of an evangelist. Evangelist that has a heart for the lost. So he has a heart for those who are found, but also a huge heart for the lost. And I hear a lot of people talk in the church about the need for a new evangelization. Okay. I hear a lot of talk about it. I'm not seeing a lot of it. Okay. I'm just speaking freely here. All right.
Yeah.
But here's what I'm seeing flow through Father Dave's ministry is a fearless level of evangelization happening.
Amen.
Okay. I've got two uncles that are priests. My dad's a deacon. I've been around priests, religious, the church culture, and I know how much fear is involved in actually transforming a parish.
Yeah, and reaching out to the lost, right?
Yeah, doing something new is super hard, and I see it, okay? It's there. But I see fearlessness here, and we need to get this out. So I'm super pumped about that. And not only is he actually doing programs, but it's a ministry. I see an evangelization ministry going on there. And it is bearing fruit.
Amen.
Okay? So we have him on the show. He's going to be sharing with us his testimony, okay, which involves not only these evangelization ministries, but I know his story starts off with the power of forgiveness, okay? So Dan, can you talk a little bit about forgiveness?
Oh yeah, definitely. So I think we as Catholics, when we naturally talk about or hear about forgiveness, a lot of times our minds just jump immediately to the sacrament of reconciliation. And that's not a bad thing. That's great, right? We love the sacrament of reconciliation. It's a
because it's place, Jesus.
It's Jesus, right? It's
right.
A place of mercy and grace. It reunites us to the Father. It's incredible. And it gives us the strength to overcome our sins, which is so important. But in the sacrament of reconciliation, reconciliation is what's happening, right? It's actually we've offended the Lord and we go to him. And we're seeking to reconcile the brokenness that exists in that relationship. It's a two-way process. Mm-hmm. So we say, Lord, I've offended you by doing this, and I'm sorry. And then the Lord graciously extends his forgiveness. That's reconciliation. It's this two-way process, and it restores a broken relationship. But when we speak of forgiveness itself, forgiveness may not always be a two-way process, right?
Mm-hmm.
We may be called to forgive someone that has not come to us seeking forgiveness. So in reconciliation, the person comes to us or we go to the person, we say, I'm sorry and I forgive you. But In forgiveness, we may be forgiving someone who hasn't come asking for forgiveness, or we may be called to forgive someone who has no desire to restore the broken relationship, that mm-hmm. that desire is not there. Or we may be called to forgive someone who doesn't even know that they've wounded us, that they've wounded us deeply, and that they have no knowledge of that. And so that's what I want to talk about. Forgiveness, right? That just this call in our, that in our lives, it's something that takes place deep within the human heart and soul. And there's so much power in this, that in forgiveness, we find healing, mm-hmm. we find mercy, we find deliverance, and ultimately, forgiveness brings freedom.
That's right.
And I see a lot of Christians who haven't experienced the freedom and the new life that Christ promises us because we haven't, within the depths of our soul, extended the forgiveness towards others who have wounded us that needs to be forgiven. And so Jesus, he sees this as an absolute central part of our spiritual lives. He says that, he almost talks about forgiveness unceasingly in the Gospels, right? He says, Peter comes to him and he's like, hey, Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother? 7 times? And Jesus says, I tell you not 7 times, but 70 times 7, right? And there's this call to just constantly forgive. But even more powerfully, he says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. That when Jesus speaks of forgiveness from the Father, he almost speaks about it in this conditional way, right? Mm-hmm. That you extend, when you extend forgiveness towards others, you will receive grace and mercy and forgiveness from the Father. And so I love this as well. Mark chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, right? So when we enter into prayer, Jesus is teaching us one of the first things we need to do when we enter into prayer is to reconcile or to forgive those who have offended us, mm-hmm. And to make sure that before we enter into the presence of the Almighty God and we come before him to receive his mercy and grace and favor, his strength, his freedom, we need to first forgive those that we hold anything against. And so that's what Jesus is telling us. It's this conditional area. So what do I see here? There's back in when I first started ministry, youth ministry, like in the early 2000s, there was a song that was like really popular in youth ministry. It was like, it went, you probably know the song, Waves of Mercy, Waves of Grace,
of
right?
Mercy,
yeah. It was a really cheesy song. And like you had these like hand motions that kids would do, and they'd be like waving their hands.
We apologize.
there was a lot of goofiness that would happen with that song. And kids would not take it all that serious, but I would listen to those words, and I was profoundly impacted by them. Mm-hmm. This idea of waves of mercy and waves of grace, that God's mercy and grace is like an ocean that just wants to crash into us. Mm-hmm. And what happens is when we don't forgive, we block ourselves from those waves of mercy and grace. And so I would actually see for the lack of forgiveness like a dam. That God wants to extend his waves of mercy, his waves of grace to crash into our lives and bring us healing and freedom and peace and joy and strength. But when we don't forgive, it's this massive dam that blocks all of that. And I've seen it, and you've seen it, Patrick, over and over and over again, that when you lead people in prayer ministry and you start with taking them through the process of calling to mind anyone who's offended them in their past and who they need to forgive— I've seen it like physically before my eyes where when they forgive those people, mm-hmm. the dam walls break down.
Yeah. And the Holy Spirit just manifests powerfully.
You literally see the waves of mercy and grace just knock these people over, and all of a sudden their lives are radically transformed and radically renewed. And so today we want to make sure before we approach the Lord, right? As we stand praying, if we hold anything against anyone, we must forgive them so that that those dam walls can be taken down and we can receive God's mercy and grace.
Okay, that's awesome. So everyone, we ask you just to just in your own time of prayer, just make that decision. Remember, it's not a feeling. It's a decision you make. Like, I choose to forgive Dan, okay, for that one thing he said about me last week, okay? And then boom, I've forgiven Dan, right? It's that simple. I make that choice. I do want to bring Father Dave on the show like pretty soon, really quick. The other thing that I've seen his testimony, he's fearless with his evangelization in his parish. Pope Francis in Evangelii Gaudium, he had his final chapter of this document, okay, is called Spirit-Filled Evangelizers. And the first sentence of this chapter says, Spirit-Filled Evangelizers means evangelizers fearlessly open to the working of the Holy Spirit. So what Pope Francis, like the first thing he says is that to be a Spirit-Filled Evangelizer, you need to be fearlessly open to the working of the Holy Spirit, because evangelization actually points people to the Holy Spirit. My pastor, Father Michael Mary, he would say that the Father always points to the Son, and the Son always points to the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that points to the church, and that we as a church, our job is to point people to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit within them will convict them of Jesus, and Jesus leads them to the Father, okay? Amen. So, like, number one, anyone out there, like, pastors are the leaders of the parish. They're the spiritual shepherds of these parishes. And pastors, they need to be fearlessly open to the working of the Holy Spirit. Open Amen. Up the doors, right?
Yeah.
Open up the doors and bring the lost in. So, like, there's got to be an attitude of fearlessness about that. Like, that means taking risks, Dan.
It means taking risks. And I think, you know, in our church, because of some difficulties in our past, we've become crippled, right? That mm-hmm. we're so afraid to take risks. We're so afraid to be fearless. But that's not what Pope Francis said, right? I loved that his World Youth Day in Rio, he preached, he said, go out into the streets and make a mess.
Right? Yes.
Like, let's make a mess. It's fearlessness sometimes will create a mess.
And then the second sentence is, at Pentecost, the Spirit made the apostles go forth from themselves. Okay, so the first point he references is Pentecost. The Spirit makes them go forth. Now, here's the deal. Like, if Pentecost is like this image of what happens in from the Holy Spirit evangelization, I think we need to realize that it's going to be a little messy, okay? Because the windows opened up, people started speaking in tongues. There was this giant rally that happened outside the upper room here, okay? Like, evangelization is not sanitized. It can't be clean, okay? It's going to look a little bit messy, okay? And I feel like what we need to know is that we need to be tolerant with, like, mistakes that happen and be willing to move forward. And that's what happens with risks. I'm going to take a risk and know that this might not look, you know, perfectly clean, but God, when God is there, things happen, right?
Yeah. Amen. Definitely.
So, I mean, I want to bring Father Dave on now, cause he actually does have to leave soon. Okay. So Father Dave, welcome to Encounter Radio. All right. Thank
Hello.
You so much for being here.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. So Father, can you tell us about your faith life growing up?
Yeah. So, I mean, I was a typical kid when I was younger. Catholic kid, you know, loving the Lord and close to my family. But then when I got into my teenage years, that's when it got bad, you know, it got bad in the sense that I became wayward. I just wasn't walking with the Lord. I wasn't walking with the right people, wasn't living the right life. And the more I lived that way over the course of 4 or 5 years growing up, the more sad I became inside, the darkness creeped in and started to occupy more and more of the space in my heart and my mind and the way I live. So I just wasn't living right. Mm-hmm. And, that's when something powerful then, you know, came to me. Much about what you were talking about, Dan, in regards to forgiveness. Is that my mom, she was always and still is a very holy woman and a very humble woman. And so she saw the way I was living. You know, she saw the friends I was hanging around with, the way I looked, the way I act, the way I just kind of withdrew myself from everybody, including a relationship with God. I had gotten to a point where, you know, yeah, I was forced to go to Mass, but I wasn't there, you know, my head and my heart. I wasn't there in prayer and the Spirit. And I think she saw that. Just being a woman of God, she picked up on that. And so she forced me to go. Well, I don't want to say forced. She negotiated with me. She wanted me to go to a healing Mass.
Yes.
And I remember it was during the summer in my sophomore year in high school. And I said to her, okay, listen, I'll go, but then you never asked me to do one of these things again.
She took a risk with you.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's exactly what you're saying. It says she was just a woman, is a woman of faith. And she's like, I'll take that. Okay, good. You know, she had such trust that God had the power to get into my life that she said, okay, great.
That's amazing.
So then we went to this priest who was traveling around the country and, you know, had some of these spirit-filled gifts, and one of them was the gift of healing. Father DeGranis was his name. Mm-hmm. And so he's preaching during the Mass at the homily, and he's preaching about forgiveness. And he asked us to close our eyes, and he would take us through what he just taught us about the forgiveness and what's necessary. And so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do this. I'm just, you know, I was a teenager. There wasn't any cute girls around or anything like that. You know, just a bunch of old ladies and old guys, you know, and I just thought, okay, I'm just going to close my eyes. And I did. And he took us through, asking the Lord for forgiveness, you know, and a kind of an examination of conscience. And so as I went through that stuff, not only what he was saying, but other things were coming to me, things I really was very much aware of that I was doing and that I felt ashamed of, you know. So I asked the Lord for forgiveness, but then also he took us through asking God to help us to forgive ourselves, mm-hmm. and then also to forgive others, you know. So, and there were some people I really needed to forgive who had hurt me. And then finally, asking God to help us to forgive, you know, that others might come to forgive us, mm-hmm. who we've hurt. So I did all that. And I'm telling you, as soon as we finished that walk through that inventory of our sins and asking the Lord came to me in a very powerful way. And I felt his presence. You know, he just like came and sat down on me. You know, I mean, I felt the Holy Spirit just coursing through my whole body. I'd never felt that. I didn't even know what it was, you know, because I was so distant from God. But when the Holy Spirit came into me, I knew exactly who it was. Mm-hmm. He made himself known, and he said, David, not only do I forgive you, but this is just a little taste of what it feels like to be forgiven by me. And this is just a little taste of my love, you know? And I just started to cry, you know? And I'm not talking like a whimper, you know? I'm talking like full on snot running down my nose.
Like the dam broke.
Yeah, like
and
the
water's
broke.
Flowing.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Damn, bro.
Dan, I was listening to you. I'm like, that's what happens, you know, when we really do allow those waves of mercy to come over the dam or to break through the dam. When we give it permission, when we break down the walls, when we're vulnerable, when we humble ourselves before the Lord, then that's what he's waiting for. Mm-hmm. And he just knocks that wall down and just literally knocks us down. And that's what happened that summer of my sophomore high school year.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So then, so you ended up going into discernment process, right?
Well, I mean, after
did that happen?
No,
soon,
no. After that, it really was about getting all the dirt out of my mm-hmm. life, you know. So he had forgiven me, but that's the eternal,
right.
You know, the eternal forgiveness. But there was a lot of temporal residue left. Mm-hmm. There was friendships that I needed to move on from. There was habits, a behavior, and thoughts. There was unchastity in my life, you know, that all that kind of stuff. So I had to, and he just kind of like set me aside for the next couple of years. And he says, if you trust me, I'm going to pull these things out of you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to hurt, but I'm also going to replace good, you know? And he did. So I let go of one friendship, you know, like my best friend, who got me into a lot of this stuff. And then he brought other friends into my life. I started praying more. I started going to Mass and paying attention. And all these things that I had grown up as a kid that was going around me at Mass, they all came to life. I'm like, what just happened here? It's just like a veil was removed. And I started to understand the significance of everything that was going on.
Amen. We have to go to a break right now, but you're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. And on the flip side, we're gonna bring Father Dave back on and continue to hear his amazing testimony. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We are joined again with Father David Sizemore. So before the break, Father, you talked about this initial grace you experienced and God just flooding you with his presence and then promising to take out the bad and fill you with the good in life. And you know, I want to know, how did this the priestly discernment come up in your life?
Well, you know, when I had that experience, I still remember that he kind of left me with a question. He said, now that you know that I love you, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? You know, and every corner I took and over the next couple years, I encountered that question, you know, with the friendships and with my behaviors and with, you know, working on my grades and getting a job and starting to think about college and praying more and so on. Every time I'm tempted to go backward and I'm thinking about going forward, he would say, now that you know that I love you, what are you going to do with your life? So he never told me, now that you know I love you, I want you to do this, mm-hmm. whatever this is. He didn't do that. He asked me a question. And so I started thinking about that. When I got into college, I met a girl. I dated her for a couple of years, and she was a wonderful girl, and we had a good relationship. And we, you know, talked about marriage and things like that. But during that time is when my faith really started to take off. And, I was going to, as a college student, to find myself going to daily mass more, you know, not every day, but and then I would find myself even at mass wanting to show up early and pray a little bit beforehand and then wanting to stay later and pray a little bit more. I had a great priest friend who kind of mentored me during this time, was a friend and fed me books and we had great conversations. So, I was falling in love more and more with the idea of getting married and having children and that whole beautiful life. But at the same time, I was falling in love with the idea that maybe God was calling me to priesthood. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I knew what it was to be in love with a woman and to have a woman love me. And I knew that that was very possible in my life. But I didn't know what the priesthood was like. Other than just vicariously, you know, mm-hmm. seeing it in others. And so it came down to, I have to take a risk. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to be willing to risk something here. And so my risk was, I'll take a year or two off from dating and all that kind of stuff. I'll go into seminary and I'll give the Lord an opportunity, you know, it just in the whole thing of what seminary living is, to see if that's what he's calling me is to priesthood. And I can't say that while I was in seminary, everything was blissful. It wasn't, you know, because I think in some ways the years before seminary was the honeymoon experience. You know, I'm just love, 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 love. I just felt the love of God everywhere, you know. And I'd be eating ice cream, I'd feel the love of God, you know.
God, your presence is right here. And every love is like ice
strawberry ice cream. I just, thank you, Jesus, you know. But when I went into seminary, certainly there were moments like that, definitely. But it was about, you know, learning the scriptures and going through sometimes the desert experience in my prayer, only so that I would long for him mm-hmm. more, because he had just so overwhelmed me. Now he wanted, you know, to pull back a little bit and say, I want you to desire me because I'm worthy of your love, not Amen. Because I'm just, you know, mm-hmm. showering you with consolations of the Holy Spirit all the time. So that brought me to a whole new level of maturity in the Christian life, let alone, you know, having spiritual formators who work on, you know, your leadership skills, your being in community with others, meaning teaching you to be less selfish, mm-hmm. you know. So seminary was great in many ways, but it was also great in the sense that there was a lot of challenges, and those challenges were necessary to get me towards priesthood, mm-hmm. you know. So each year I felt, okay, I can do another year. You know, each year I felt as if God was, this is what he was calling to me, but I still wasn't sure. And that's what leads to ordination.
You know? Oh my God.
In the most ironic way is...
So even up to the date of your ordination, you didn't know?
Yeah.
Okay. So you went to ordination.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What happened?
Yeah. So I mean, you know, even up to ordination, I mean, I had a year in a parish. I took a pastoral year. I worked in hospitals when I was in seminary. I worked in, you know, schools. I worked in homeless shelters and all that. All those places, you know, these are opportunities God presenting me to saying, I'm putting in your heart a love for the poor, a love for teaching others, a love for this, a love for that. And so, yeah, I felt him call me in those ways, but I still wasn't sure. So I still remember the night before I was ordained, I went to confession to one of my buddies, because I took a pastoral year, so he was a year ahead of me, and now he was a priest, and he was coming in for my ordination. I went to confession to him, and one of the first things out of my mouth, I said to him, I'm still not sure if God's calling me to be a priest, and this is really scary. And he said to me without hesitation, good, then you're ready to be a priest.
Wow.
I was like, nice. What? And he immediately explained. He said, all your life as a priest, you're going to be running into people who are in the situation you're in right now. You know, they just don't know what God wants of their life, or they're confused, or they think that faith is being 100% sure and having all the facts in front of you, and that's when you take, you know, the leap of faith. He says, that's no leap of faith at all.
Mm.
He said, what faith is about love. You love God. Now, in love, choose him, even though you don't know what the future is.
Wow.
That's faith.
That's wow. Powerful. So, yeah. So I feel like right now there's people listening right there that are in discernment crisis. So just repeat after me. I receive that word.
I receive that word.
Amen.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Is such a good word. What a gift.
So that being said though, you know, again, it was one of those moments where I started tearing up and I was like, that is so true. You know, how did I miss that? So the next day, I'm ready. You know, and we're at the ordination. I'm down on my knees on the sanctuary floors of the cathedral, and the bishop is praying that ancient prayer of ordination. You know, it goes all the way back to the Book of Acts,
mm-hmm.
and breathes down the Holy Spirit. And as soon as I'm ordained, you know, consecrated to the service of priesthood, again, it was one of those moments in my life, all the way back to like when I was in high school, where I felt the Holy Spirit come upon me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a physical presence, known presence. And I heard him just like when I was back in high school, again, not hearing in the sense of hearing with my ears, but hearing him with like my entire being. And I understood exactly what he was saying. And he said to me, David, he said, now I can tell you that I choose you.
Wow.
And I've always chosen you. And priesthood is what I've always wanted you to do.
Wow.
And be. And this is what I've created you to be. He says, but I needed you to choose me.
Amen.
Wow.
And I held off on telling you this until you were ready and you chose me.
Wow.
Amen.
Now I want you to know that I chose you
Amen.
First.
Wow.
You know, and then I was just like, whoa, you know? So here I am just crying, you know? Again, it's that full on like snot running down like faucet, you know? crying right there during the ordination mass. And the bishop's looking at me. He's like, what is going on with you? You know? Like, you know? And then all the priests come along. They follow the bishop out. The bishop lays hand. Each one of the priests come along. And in fraternity, they lay on hands. And so as they're doing this, you know, again, I'm just crying. And all these priests are looking at me like, what is wrong with this boy?
Who just got ordained? Oh, man, that's
so
awesome.
It was beautiful.
You're just like, more, Lord, more, Lord, more.
And I'm like, turn it off right now. I'm getting all dried up.
That's amazing.
Praise the Lord.
So, that, you know, that scripture passage from John, it was not you who chose me, but I who chose you to go forth and bear fruit that will last. Father, you have... you have an evangelization ministry like none other that I've seen at your parish. Where does this come from, you know?
I think it comes definitely from growing up and having a period in my life when I wasn't walking with the Lord. And I remember what that was like. So I know what it's like to be, you know, in some sense unchurched. Even though I was going to church, I was hollow inside, or de-churched, in the sense that even though I was made to go to church, I didn't want to go to church. I know what it was like to have despair in my life and question and doubt about the existence of God and sin ruling my life and being a slave to sin. And, I, you know, so many of those things growing up. And then, you know, growing up with the different popes that we've had, both while I was a kid and then since I was in seminary and since a priest, John Paul II, Benedict, and then also now Francis, and all three of them calling us to this new evangelization, you know, and just thinking to myself, is that what you did to me, Lord? Did you re-evangelized me, you know? You re-presented to my life what the truth of the gospel is. And I'm like, if that's what the new evangelization is about, if that's what the goal is, to recapture us, you know, so that we can then go out and help others who have not been captured by the Lord or who have gotten themselves away from the Lord to help them along the way. I'm like, that's what I want, you know. And I want you to use these things from my life and help me to do this. And that's what I've been trying to do for almost 20 years as a priest.
Amen.
Wow. So what kind of transformation are you seeing in the lives of your parishioners?
It's pretty incredible. we have, in just in the last, you know, year or two, I'll give you an example. We have about 1,000 of our adults going through ongoing adult faith formation in our parish.
Wow. Did you say 1,000?
Like 1,000.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like when I was first a priest in the, you know, in my first assignment, I mean, we probably had a couple hundred people, you know, among Bible studies and prayer groups and you know, rosary societies and things like that. Maybe 100. But yeah, we have quite close to 1,000. And it's not just one-off experiences, it's ongoing. So we have, like an example of this is we have, over 200 women meeting every week at our parish in our church, for Walking with Purpose. And what it is a 7-year Bible study and discipleship group for women, helping them to, with one another, go all in for Jesus, you know, and I'm seeing just among the women right there, lives being changed. I'll give you just one quick example. So one of the women who, you know, is really on fire with the Lord and lived in a neighborhood, she went to another woman who wasn't on fire with the Lord, who, what, you know, we could call a pew sitter, meaning spent her whole life sitting in a pew, you know, and didn't know the Lord. Knew about him. Knew a lot about him, but didn't know him. And so she invites her to, you know, just a local neighborhood network type of friendship. She first befriends them, and then after she befriends her, she invites her to start a prayer group with her. She gets on fire with the Lord, with her and a few other of the women in her parish, I mean in her neighborhood, and then invites me to the neighborhood. She invites the de-church and the unchurched, and we've been doing this now for about 3 years. And now when she has people in her neighborhood gathering, she has 72, the last time we had 72 people there, every single person in the 3 years that she's invited to her group and then invited her eventually
to St. John Newman, every single one of them have come back to the Lord, or wow. have come to the Lord from being agnostic or atheist.
Amen.
That's what
and
I
that's
called.
Just one woman yeah. in one neighborhood, who got on fire with the Lord and then spread that fire, Amen. You know, across the field.
That's what I call the domestic church.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
Home
yeah.
church.
Well, and the,
yeah.
the beauty about a spirit-filled evangelizers is they don't just evangelize, but they actually build other spirit-filled evangelizers. Mm-hmm. So a priest... If a priest is trying to do everything in his parish by himself, there's no way, right?
No.
So you're creating spirit-filled evangelizers who are going into their streets mm-hmm. and evangelizing the
yeah.
unchurched.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And that's what we've done even with the staff is when I first got there, we had about seven staff. This was 10 years ago. And three of them, you know, moved on. And they kind of looked at me and go, I'm moving on, you yeah. know, this, and then, anyways, my point is that 10 years later, we have 21 staff members
mm-hmm.
and, you know, my criteria for hiring staff is, do they love the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do they have a prayer life? Do they have a relationship? And I ask a lot
not
of questions.
Not a degree, not like no, the Fordham degree.
Yeah, you can get those for them, you know,
yeah.
you can get them
well,
along
your
the
certification
way.
Process.
So I look at their spiritual lives and mm-hmm. then I look at, are they, you know, their love for others and their, of course, their personal skills and that kind of stuff, their communication skills, but how are they with other people? Then I look at, what are their skills and what are their degrees? Because if they don't have the right degrees, you can get that for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have the skills, you can help them grow into those. And so, you know, the staff that we have is incredible. I mean, they're all on fire with the love for the Lord. They're all in Eucharistic adoration. You know, they're all getting into prayer groups and into the scriptures and stuff like that. And like you just said, Dan, that is so important because the priest cannot do everything. And if we're growing our parishes upon the strength and the energy, just those things alone, the strength and the energy of the Lord, the strength, the time, and the energy of a priest, then we are holding back the floodgates.
Yep.
You
wow.
know, because we've got to allow that to move where the priest empowers not just the staff, but so many other of our laity. And then, my gosh, the sky is the limit
yep. mm-hmm.
for the working of the Holy Spirit.
Well, and that's part of that risk, right? So when
yeah.
you empower a layperson to do evangelization, there is an element of risk because it'll be messy. They'll probably mess
yeah.
up a few times, and then you teach them and instruct
they
them.
They do, and I do too.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
When I see like my one-year-old who's trying to walk, fall, like I don't yell and be like, I can't believe you fell.
You messed
I'm
up.
Like, oh, you're so cute,
yeah.
right? I feel like heaven's like, oh, you messed up, but you went for it, you know?
Yeah,
I love it.
Definitely. Wow, that's amazing, Father. What do you have any other stories of transformation?
So it just had a I'll stick with the women in this case. A woman in a neighborhood, and she, you know, again, new evangelization is all about building first friendships, right?
Mm-hmm.
Building trust. And then the woman is going through a lot in her life. And so the parishioner says, I see you, I hear you going through a lot of difficulty. I know what you need. And she's like, what? She goes, you need Jesus. And she's like, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in God.
I still need him.
I told you I'm an atheist. She goes, it doesn't matter. You still need him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? And she said to her, why don't you just, you know, come with me to church, not to mass, not to worship service. But just come to my women's group. A lot of the women in Walking with Purpose, you have a large group, you know, where you meet as a large group, then you break down into small discipleship groups. She goes, just come to my discipleship group. She goes, we're taking a break from our study. Every 4 to 6 weeks with Walking with Purpose, you take a break from your studies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they call Coffee Connect. And that's when you bring people in, new people in.
Neat.
And so she brings them in, and she just has, you know, they just love on her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, listen to her, what's going on, and they just accept her. And so she says, okay, I'll come back to the group itself. They start a new study. It's like Holy Spirit moment. It's like right where she's at, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then after 3 weeks, she says, I want what you have.
Mm.
I want that belief. I want Jesus in my life. Long story short, she joined RCIA, and we're going to be confirming her and her kids and bringing and baptizing some of them at the Easter vigil in a couple weeks.
Man, fearlessness. Wow. Yeah. Fearlessness, right?
Praise God. Yeah.
So now, praise God.
I've heard a lot about Alpha. Mm-hmm. I know you guys started in the diocese and it's starting to spread. Yeah. What are you seeing with Alpha?
So Alpha is a great gateway experience. It is for everyone. It's for really strong in their faith and just hanging on by the skin of your teeth, because we need the strong in there with those who are struggling, right? And it really just kind of sparks faith, or it re-sparks faith, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's what the church calls the kerygma. It's 10 weeks, and over 10 weeks, every week you cover the core, the kernel of Christianity, and it culminates in a Holy Spirit retreat in which you are praying with people and over people, and a lot of people receive the Holy Spirit on that retreat, and after that, they're like, what's next? So that's why we use Alpha.
Can you come back on the next break for a few minutes before you have to leave?
Yep.
And tell us more about that?
Sure.
All right, you're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio, and on the flip side, we'll be rejoined with Father Dave sharing with us the evangelization ministries of his church. Welcome back to Encounter. We have Father Dave with us one more time, and Father Dave has been sharing with us about the evangelization ministries at St. John Newman. So, Father, you're talking about Alpha.
Yep.
Go. Keep going, Father.
Well, Alpha, as I said, is one of those gateway experiences, and it ultimately leads a person to what's next. And so much of what is impactful in the not just the Christian message but the Christian walk is what you were saying, Dave, between the break, is that you can have wonderful programs and they flop on their face, mm-hmm. right, if you don't have relationships in those contexts. And so we call it in youth ministry, relational ministry.
Right.
I'm sure you've
yep.
used those terms as youth
mm-hmm.
ministers. So that it's in those relationships that Christ happens, right? We build those friendships like bridges, and then Christ walks his life from one person over the bridge of our relationship into the life of another person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Alpha does. Alpha is brilliant. It's so simple, but it's brilliant at creating relationships. So when people come into Alpha over a 10-week period, they immediately sit at a table, and they're at that table with that group for 10 weeks. And they have table fellowship. The parish puts on a full dinner for them, you know. The diocese of, we have a Catholic Foundation, and the Catholic Foundation pays for a grant so that every parish who wants to do Alpha can buy all the food and do the whole 10 weeks on the Catholic Foundation's dime.
Wow.
You know? Yeah.
No, come on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
no excuses,
so there's no excuse,
pastors.
Right? And what it is, you know, as I said, they just gather and they have a meal together. They don't even talk about Jesus in the beginning, just building friendships. And there's all kinds of materials in which you can ask questions and get to know one another. And then each week after that table fellowship, then we learn a little bit about the Christian faith, those 10 points of the kerygma, like, does God exist? Who is Jesus? Can I have the Holy Spirit in my life? Is there really such thing as a sin today? Why should the church even be relevant in my life and the life of my... I mean, some really good
mm-hmm.
questions. And then he spends about a half hour going through it. And the speaker is excellent. I mean, people are enthralled by him, and he's got great sense of humor, and he makes some really poignant points. After that half hour, then you break down in those same groups into what we call discipleship groups, right? Now, that's the key, because after 10 weeks of them being in discipleship groups with one another, learning from one another, networking from one another, best practices with one another, hearing one another, supporting one another, loving one another, all that stuff that goes on in a small group, after 10 weeks, they're like, we want to keep going with our group,
yeah,
you know, and we're like, we're ready for that,
yeah,
you know. So again, we'll say, go to Walking with Purpose for women, go to That Man Is You for men, very similar to Walking with Purpose. It's a, and it's 5 years of opportunity. Go to Beloved for you know, couples, and the list goes on all the way through young adults, ID 916, Y Disciple for high schoolers, Chosen for 8th graders, Decision Point for 6th and 7th graders. All of our whole parish now is broken down into discipleship groups, settings, where at the center of is Christ and His Word and the teachings of the church. And at the center of that are people in relationship with one another.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
So, Father, do you have time for more? Can you give us your blessing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, really quick, what are you planning in the future?
Well, it's...
I want to know.
Yeah, well, one of the things we're planning is to do family faith formation. You know, we're praying about and discerning, and then we're going to do a lot of conversations and continued prayer and discernment over this next year, and then we're going to do a pilot the following year, and if it goes well, then we're going to fully implement it, and that is, we're going to throw out that tired, you know, PSR model,
mm-hmm.
Which we've, you know,
into that. Thank
yeah,
you, Jesus.
Throw it out, and we're gonna bring families together in their homes.
Wow.
Give them all the materials and the training they need to do faith formation together as a family.
Wow.
Yeah. The scriptures, the catechism, the materials they need to pray with one another, all that kind of stuff.
The domestic church again.
Yeah, domestic church.
Strikes again.
Yeah, because listen, I mean, we've done it. We've all done it. And that is, we're fighting the culture in which people are making all kinds of excuses, being so busy with their work and with their kids' sports and stuff like that, that we have, every parish has a designated time, you know, like for us, it's Tuesday and Wednesdays when we do the kids,
mm-hmm.
The elementary on Tuesday and then middle school on Wednesday. And in a given week, you've got so many of those kids not there because of their schedules, or the schedules of the parents. So we're done with that. You know, let them decide in their own homes when they can do that. That might be at night. That might be early in the morning. That might be on a Saturday morning or whatever. But we'll give them all the stuff that they need, and they'll do that 3 days a month. And then the fourth day of the month, or say the fourth week of the month, then they come back as a family to the parish, and we work with the whole family. And then they go back
and
do three more weeks.
Come on, Father. Yeah. You're crazy.
Yeah.
Father, I love it.
That's a huge risk,
yeah,
right?
I know.
And
I know.
So what gave you the courage to take this risk?
You know, it was our PSR our PSR director, Bob Steinbauer, who's been doing religious education for years, you know, and has been doing PSR for years. And so here's a guy who's lived that model, that old model, and he comes to us and he suggests a new way.
Amen.
You know, I mean, it just speaks of his holiness, his humility, his willingness to take a risk, and him saying to, and I trust him. That's the thing. I trust this man. And when I see him and I hear him, I'm like, you know what? Let's try it. But try it first with prayer and discernment.
Mm-hmm.
See if it's right for us. You know, this is a great idea. And if it is, then pilot it and then launch it. So I do try to be a risk taker, but I'm a calculated risk taker.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not going to throw prudence out.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's awesome. Father, I know you have to leave. Can you give us your blessing?
Sure. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord,
amen.
We give you thanks for all that is happening in our diocese and our parishes. And we give you thanks for all that's not, so that it puts in our hearts a desire for more of you.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we just ask for more of you. And that pangs in our hearts that we're feeling right now as we're listening and as we're in a conversation and saying, I want that, I want that. Lord, use your Holy Spirit to guide our listeners to want more of you, because you want to give more of you. Let us be risk takers. Let us be people of trust and of faith. Let us put our faith and our trust in you, and guide us. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us. Transform our lives, our spouses, our children, our diocese, our parishes, our priests, our youth ministers. Transform this world. Set it on fire. Light a fire, and let us be fire lighters. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Father, thank you so much for coming in.
God bless you.
Dude, Dan, what do you think about that? What's the first thing coming to your mind?
You know, St. Louis de Montfort, he says, if we risk nothing, we risk doing nothing great for the kingdom of God. That's just what keeps coming, right? That I want to do something great with my life for the kingdom of God. And in order to do that, I need to take risk and I need to put myself out there, right?
I think we need to change the spelling of faith. To R-I-S-K, right?
Make a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's like, you know, belief without action, you know, like faith and work. Like you talk about your faith. I'll express to you my faith with my action. But I can't do an action without taking a risk, right? This is what James is talking about.
Well, and faith is, just like Father said, it's not about 100% certainty. Faith requires risk. That's the whole piece of it.
I actually had an awesome story from yesterday. So one of my teens at St. Pat's, she's going to she's eating dinner before coming to junior high youth night, where she is a leader, one of the service team leaders. And she thinks she hears the Holy Spirit say, like, I feel like I need to go up to this group over here. There's a group of students that were kind of like inner city, kind of thug-esque and kind of scary to her, who's this short little white girl.
Wow.
And she's like, I feel like I'm like the Holy Spirit was telling her to go up and tell them that God loves them and that this one girl is beautiful. And she's like, I don't know if it's God or if it's me. But then what she did was she took a risk and she went for it, because we preach risk, right? And so she goes up to the table and says, hey, I know it sounds crazy, but I feel like God just wants you to know that he loves you so much and he thinks you are beautiful. And this group of students just like broke down, like, thank you so much. I needed to hear that. Started telling about what's going on in their life. She ends up praying with them.
Wow.
Come on. But like, unless you take that risk, because God's always speaking to us.
Mm-hmm.
Who lives inside of you?
The Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah. So yeah, he wants to speak to us. So risk is huge.
Well, and you know, it's amazing to me that our young people, we see this over and over again in youth ministry, they're willing to take the risk. But something happens a lot of times in adulthood where we become almost more fearful. And so, you know, I'm just getting a sense that there's probably listeners out there who are living in fear and who have been afraid to speak truth into people's lives at work or in your neighborhood. And because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord's been prompting you. And and all these promptings are coming to your mind right now.
Right
and
now,
you know people that you're supposed to reach out to. You know conversations you're supposed to have. And how old was that girl?
She was 16.
So the 16-year-old girl is fearless enough to do this, right? Mm-hmm. Risk her reputation, risk her popularity, and she does it because the Lord's asking her, adults, are we willing to take risk for the gospel?
Come on. Come
and
on.
So let's just, we want to spend some time praying right now.
Do it.
Lord, we come before you right now, and we pray that send into our listeners' minds the names of friends, coworkers, family members that they're called to reach out to. And we pray right now, Lord, that you would send your supernatural strength into their hearts, that you would give them, you would fill their minds with the words that they need to speak, the conversations they need to have. Give them the strength to overcome their fears, to overcome the difficulties, the obstacles. Lord, we pray that you would allow them to re-evangelize or evangelize the people that you're placing on their hearts.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, just as you fell upon the first apostles, just as you fell upon Father
Come
David,
Holy
in the name
Spirit,
of Jesus,
Come
we
Holy
ask
Spirit.
You to fall right now
Amen.
On every listener with an open heart, for you to not give them a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So in the name of Jesus, we just release that spirit of power upon you right now. We release that spirit of love, and we release that spirit of a sound mind in Jesus' name. So come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit right now, and we shall renew the face of the earth with you. And Father God, we just thank you so much for the gift of the show. We thank you for the gift of Father David Sizemore. We thank you for the gift of every priest. We pray for revival in our church, for this powerful renewal to flow.
Spirit.
Through the popes, Lord, through all of those, the people that you've brought into our life. And we just, we pray especially for every listener right now that they will say, yes, I will do my part right now. I will partner with you, Holy Spirit, and take a risk today for you.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you so much for joining us on Encounter. On behalf of Patrick and I, we pray that you will have the grace to receive and respond to every divine encounter that God brings to you today. To learn more about us and the show, or how you can share your life-changing encounter with our audience, please visit EncounterRadio.org. That's EncounterRadio.org.